Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, the Monetary Authority of Singapore recently announced revisions to the technology risk management guidelines to enforce stronger risk mitigation for financial institutions in Singapore. And as cyber attacks continue to increase in severity and frequency, this is a timely move. But how will this impact digitalization across the financial sector? And what will this hold for the future of Singapore and the region's financial institutions? For more insights, we speak to Tom Kellerman, Head of Cybersecurity Strategy for VMware Carbon Black. He believes MAS's guidance to elevate the role of the CISO within FIs and hire cyber-savvy board members will alter the historic failure in corporate governance when it comes to cybersecurity. We'll find out why. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
So you feel the Chief Information Security Officer, the Chief Information Officer need to play a bigger role in spearheading business in this digital economy, don't you? Tell us why.
I do. Financial institutions need to get back to their roots of providing trust and confidence in the safety and soundness of assets. And that can only be assured by elevating the role of the Chief Information Security Officer. The defensive mindset must be at the top because the financial sector as a whole is under siege, not only by cybercrime cartels, but by nation states who are attempting to offset economic sanctions. And many of the fraud schemes that are being leveraged by these adversaries are not merely the transfer of funds, wire transfer fraud. There are other forms of fraud like digital insider trading, digital front running, and the theft of non-public market information that have become quite pernicious and provocative by certain groups.
How then can the CISO and CIO play a bigger role?
Well, I do believe the CIOs typically already have a C-suite role, but it's been the CISO who has been reporting to the CIO. And that's a corporate governance crisis. You have your defensive coordinator reporting to your offensive coordinator. And so the CIO can always veto any sort of imperative that would manage or mitigate risk vis-a-vis some DevOps or some migration. And that then in turn causes this systemic risk to the institution as a whole. So I applaud MAS's proactive policies. They've always been on the bleeding edge of proactive safety and soundness, and this just illustrates that. By elevating the CISO to be equal to the CIO and have their own authorities and their own budgets, and by forcing the institutions to bring in a cyber-savvy board member, it really brings them back to the roots of being a true financial institution, which should be a focus on safety and soundness.
Does it have to be one or the other? Like growth is compromised if you beef up cybersecurity or the other way around?
No longer is growth compromised if you beef up cybersecurity. This is about sustainable digital transformation. Mm. Back in the day, sure, cybersecurity did inhibit digital advancements and development operations, but no longer is that the case. You know, guardrails must be put in place and proactive threat hunting and penetration testing need to be widespread to identify and mitigate attack paths and behavioral anomalies and criminality that may already pre-exist in systems. If the SolarWinds incident woke us up to anything, it's that the adversary of today doesn't just want to conduct a bank heist. They literally want to turn it into a hostage situation. And what I mean by that is, it's not just a desire to burglarize and conduct thievery within the institution. They literally want to maintain omniscience to everything the institution does, and then use the digital transformation of that institution to attack their constituencies, thus basically hijacking the trust that exists between consumers, investors, and the institutions themselves. So the game has changed, which is why MAS has really stepped up to the plate.
Talk to us then about why boards in financial organizations need to adopt a defensive mindset in 2021. Someone else I talked to recently said, think of it this way. If the cyber criminals enter your systems, these days they can just take a picture and leave and you wouldn't know you lost something. Not like burglary in the old days where your crown jewels were stolen and you know that they're gone.
It's very true. And frankly, they're not leaving. They're not leaving. In fact, they're selling access to specific institutions and specific corporations. Mm. It's their desire to colonize the infrastructure, not merely burglarize the infrastructure. And so it's fundamental That the mindset of sustainable digital transformation is empowered by a proactive CISO and a board member who is the advocate as well as the translator for the initiatives of the CISO to mitigate and manage this type of risk. But again, I just want to reiterate, the fundamental goal of a CISO in 2021 is much different than the goal of a CISO in 2020. In 2020, it was to prevent a breach. In 2021, as evidenced by SolarWinds, the goal is to prevent the adversary from commandeering your digital transformation and using it to attack your customers.
So you're saying a breach is inevitable?
Breaches will occur.
Yeah.
They will occur, but success for a CISO really is about decreasing dwell time, decreasing the amount of time that an adversary can maintain persistence on a system, and most importantly, inhibiting the capacity of that adversary to turn the heist into a hostage situation, to move laterally within the institution, and then to commandeer the infrastructure of the institution to attack their customers. That is worst case scenario. That's the goal. Success is decreasing dwell time, and then obviously to achieve those things, they must intrinsically integrate their security controls and they must proactively conduct threat hunting. Both of those recommendations are mandated now by MIS.
Okay, Tom, let's talk about then the importance of building an ecosystem of defenders. You're saying from across public and private sectors to defend against these attacks. I mean, who are these people though? You got to train them in-house? You hire ethical hackers maybe? What's happening?
So there is a shortage. And information sharing between the public and private sectors is an imperative. I know the MAS has been very proactive in that regard. I sit on the board of cyber investigations for the U.S. Secret Service, who investigate all financial crimes. And they are now establishing cyber fraud task forces, not only in the U.S. in major cities, but around the world, one of which will be established in Singapore soon, which will be a collaborative between the U.S. Secret Service, the local law enforcement, and the major CISOs of the financial institutions in Singapore. And others are being stood up as we speak. But ground truth and situational awareness as it relates to what these cybercrime cartels are up to necessitates that we share more information amongst each other, and really information specific to the modus operandi of the adversary and how it's changing. And these cybercrime cartels are very well organized, highly sophisticated, and a few of them have been essentially protected by regimes in a very much a Pax Mafiosa style.
It's strange for the layperson to think information sharing and cybersecurity can go hand in hand. It feels oxymoronic.
I guess so, but the devil's in the details. I guess the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was to convince the world he didn't exist. And we have to shed a light on that devil. Most of us need to begin to conduct cyber threat hunting within the institutions whom we protect immediately, because more than likely, there already is a cybercrime conspiracy ongoing in some facet of the information supply chain. And that needs to be rooted out. I'll give you a metaphor for this. Just imagine if you closed down the bank for the day and you didn't actually check to see if anyone was in the room with the safety deposit boxes in the vault. Well, that's what's been happening. What's been happening is that institutions per se are closing down for the day and they're not seeing if any behavioral anomaly or any non-employee is still within the institution itself. And that's why the cyber threat hunting mandate by MIS is such an imperative.
Yeah,
you need to check the infrastructure for the existence of anything that is abnormal prior to moving forward with any sort of further digital transformation.
In particular, financial institutions, obviously, because of...
And then most importantly, the most valuable asset that these institutions have are their long-term market strategies and non-public market information. And it's that type of information that is also being targeted by these cybercrime cartels.
So let's talk about the future of cybersecurity then for these financial institutions, what they can do to prepare for this future before you guys get here.
Well, first and foremost, they need to regularly conduct cyber threat hunting. And that is, like I said, they're trying to evaluate if there are already ongoing cybercrime conspiracies within their infrastructure, things they haven't been notified about. Number two is they have to integrate.
Perpetrated by whom? In-house, Tom?
No, not by in-house. Most of these attacks are outsiders who have backdoored the system, who have set up some sort of pernicious access to the systems of sensitivity. The second thing is they have to integrate their security controls. which in many cases are not integrated, and they need to move to more automation in terms of how they react to adversaries in real time. One example would be their endpoint protection platforms must be integrated with their network detection platforms. This is an imperative given the threats that we're facing today. As many of these institutions are now moving to cloud to deliver services, workload security and container security will be an imperative in 2021, because many hackers now are choosing to target cloud workloads and containers to bypass the traditional perimeter defenses of institutions. And finally, just-in-time administration must be mandated. No one should have administrative rights in perpetual fashion. And when you have administrative access to systems, when you have the keys to the castle of an institution, it should be for a limited period of time for a purpose that is distinct.
Is it our faults again, us employees with the lousy passwords, Tom?
No, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. You know, frankly, what it should have happened is the institution, let's say you're an employee of an institution with a mediocre password, the institution should have marginalized the capacity of your device to be compromised to create greater damage to the institution. So how would they do that? Well, if they were using endpoint detection and response capabilities on your device, they would see in real time behavioral anomalies when a hacker had taken over your device.
Yeah.
And they'd be able to shut that down. If they'd segmented your device to not have access to everything once it got past the firewall in the institution, it would be very limited to the damage that a hacker could do when they took over your device. And then, and most importantly, if they didn't give you administrative rights, regardless of whether your access was compromised, there'd be very little damage that you could leverage.
Are you seeing, though, Tom, financial institutions recognizing the need for that defensive mindset?
Not all institutions are equal. Not all institutions are as proactive as they should be or could be. I'm not going to name the ones that are most proactive, but I would say that the Monetary Authority of Singapore is the most proactive and most thoughtful financial regulator in the world.
That's a bit dangerous, isn't it? It's like human behavior on pain of death. Only when something hurts or it's happened to you, then you do something about it. How can we get the word out?
I think the mindset of the CEOs of financial institutions and the boards must shift again. It should be about preserving trust and confidence and safety and soundness. And as much as they are digitally transforming and amplifying the provision of nuanced financial services and e-finance, security must no longer be viewed as an expense, but rather a functionality of conducting banking in 2021. And the sustainability of their brand and the long-term viability of their institution will be dependent on the fact that they enhance the capabilities and the authorities of that CISO.
All right, Tom, thank you so much for your time. I feel slightly vindicated, although I must say I've changed my passwords to 4567, no longer 1234.
Thank you.
Tom Kellerman, Head of Cybersecurity Strategy for VMware Carbon Black. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.